right, y'all there? All right, the Bible said there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. I've got this word on my heart tonight, and I want to share some thoughts on this word, temptation. Temptation. I want you to listen as the Lord will help you. Father, in Jesus' name, God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the good singing. And I believe you've taught us in your word the importance of good singing and how it we enter your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise. And God, I feel like we're in the presence of the Holy One tonight. I feel like you're here in a tangible way, God. And I'm praying that, God, you'd use your word and speak to our hearts. God, help us to mind you, and may the Holy Ghost have free reign tonight in the hearts and lives of the men, women, boys, and girls that's in this house. Speak to us and help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. The word temptation gives us the idea. It comes from the word that means a putting to the proof. A putting to the proof. It's to put by experience and to prove one. Temptation sometimes is seen as a solicitation. A solicitation. Are you listening to me? It's a temptation. It's a solicitation to evil. Sometimes this temptation comes in various avenues. But this temptation proves us, it reveals, it does not make us, it reveals what we are. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Our reaction and our resistance or acceptance and following into the temptation will reveal through that time of trial, through that time of testing, it will prove what we're made out of. And God said that there will no temptation take us, but such as is common to man. The word common there means it's human. It's human to see temptation. Somebody said, preacher, I've sinned. I've been tempted. Join the club. Are you listening to me? It's not a sin to be tempted. Let that sink in. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield. The old hymn says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. The Lord Jesus was tempted. We'll talk about that, Lord willing, a little bit later. But the Lord Jesus was tempted of the devil. There's no sin in being tempted. The sin is in our yielding to the temptation. So what are you going to do when temptation comes for you? Now listen, temptation is only common to man. It's merely human. But Jimmy, it's human to be tempted tonight. Amen. I wonder about you if you tell me you've never been tempted. So the book of James tells us some things about temptation. In James chapter number 1, listen to what he said. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. Now he's speaking here in this context of us being tempted to sin. Tempted to disobey God. Tempted to yield to the flesh. Yield to Satan's will. Listen, he said, let no man, in that context, let no man say when he is tempted, that he's tempted of God. You see, God will test us at times. Are you listening? God will put us under testing to reveal us and to mature us and to help us to grow. But Satan will tempt us to ruin us. Right. Satan, the Bible said, the thief, John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he's here after. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. You say, well, I'm not going to obey God, I'm just going to live my own life. He wants to steal. Are you listening to me, young kids, boys and girls, moms and daddies? Steal, kill, destroy. There is no, Jesus said, I'm coming that they may have life and that they may have it more abundant. Are you listening to me? There's no middle ground. Right. Hey, listen, there's no middle ground. The enemy, Satan, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll put that bait, he'll put that temptation, sort of like that cheese out there on the mousetrap. He'll put that cheese or that peanut butter out there, amen? He'll put something out there that looks real good. It may be sex outside of marriage. Are you listening? It may be a bottle of alcohol. It might be a child of backer. It might be a pretty girl. Listen, it might be the love of money. He'll put something out there that looks real good. He knows what it is that'll get your attention. Think about that. He knows what it is. He's no dummy. We sometimes belittle the devil. We think, oh, he's dumb. He ain't got no power. Oh, friend, you're fooling yourself. You need to be aware. There's an enemy. There's a devil loose. The Bible said he's seeking whom he may devour. So what are we going to do about this temptation? Well, we know that it doesn't come from God. He said, God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God will never. Don't tell me that God's tempting you with evil. Don't you come up here and tell me that God put another woman in your eyes, sir. Boys and girls, don't tell me God's tempting me. God's not tempting you with sin. Are you listening to me? If there's temptation, you say, where's it come from? Verse 14, but every man, how many men? Somebody talk to me. How many?
Every
man is tempted when? When he is drawn away of his own lust. That word lust there has cravings. The idea is what we desire. Every man is tempted. He's put to the test when he's drawn away of his own lust. I'm not tempted with your cravings, Brother Robbie. I don't know what your cravings are. Are you listening to me? I've got my own cravings. And every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. And then he said this. He said, then when lust, or he said, and he's enticed, and he said, then with lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So the temptation is not the sin. But he said, when temptation hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And then he said, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Death. Are you listening to me? He'll begin with temptation, but his goal is to kill you. Are you listening to me? So what we're going to do, let me say, give you a few things. I want to say something tonight about temptation. Can I say, number one, don't be surprised by it, expect it. This is going to be real simple. It's going to be like in shoe leather kind of preaching tonight, all right? Write it down, take some notes. Don't be surprised, expect it. You say, well, I'm up here, you know, I'm so spiritual, I read my Bible and I sing out the red book. I won't be tempted. Friend, if you're breathing tonight and you're trying to serve God, you will be tempted. This preacher faces temptation on a daily basis. Hello, Tokyo. Are you listening to me? I live in the same kind of flesh that you live in. You live in the same kind that George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and the Apostle Paul lived in. And every man that's ever been born of woman has underwent temptation. Don't be surprised. Don't, preacher, I saw something and I was tempted by it. Welcome to life. Don't be surprised by it. Listen, what did he say? He said, but such as is common to man. It's human to be tempted. Let me say this. Don't be fooled by it, detect it. Don't be fooled by it. What did he say there in Peter? Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be awake and be on the outlook for the devil. He said, your enemy, he's as a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. Think about it tonight. Just as sure as Jesus could be walking up and down the midst of this room tonight, there's an enemy that's called Satan. And he walks about and he's roaring. He says he's as a roaring lion.
And he's seeking whom he may devour. That tends to let me see the idea that there are some that he may devour and there may be some that he may not devour. You say, why can some be devoured and some cannot? I'll tell you one reason why. It's because some are not going to be fooled by his temptation. They're going to detect it. They're expecting it. They're on the lookout. Hey, listen, they have set up a guard. You can't listen to me. You cannot be too careful. When you get up here and you're thinking, well, I'm so spiritual, I'll never be tempted. Guess what, friend? It's right at the door. Let he, the very next verse, or the verse right before that, let he that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It could happen to you. Detect. I'm talking about setting up some spiritual antennas, having some discernment, taking in the Word of God. And then let me say this, don't be deceived, reject it. You say, well, it won't hurt me. Oh, good friend. Hey, the Bible said, and lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Well, I can take a little bit in, and it's not going to hurt me. I'm not trying to be mean to you tonight. I'm trying to warn you tonight. I want you to know that if you succumb to the temptation, the end of it, when after the sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. There's no good news, boys and girls, moms and daddies. Listen, teenagers, there's no good news for you other than the forgiveness and the cleansing of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no good future in you succumbing to temptation. The end is death. The wages of sin is death. Don't be deceived. Reject it. What does he say? He said, resist. 1 Peter 5:9, I believe it is. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You're going to have to resist him. You're going to have to put up not only some spiritual antennas, but you're going to have to put on some spiritual armor. You're going to have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have to robe yourself in the warfare that he's given you in Ephesians chapter number 6. You have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that you're able to resist the devil. You listen, listen, in your own power, you are no match. Matt, you are no match, sir, ma'am, Sunday school teacher, choir leader, preacher. You are no match in your own power for the devil. I've heard dummies say, well, I'm going to fight the devil. You're an idiot. I'm going to rebuke the devil. Well, you're doing better than angels. Are you listening to me? In your own power, listen, you better learn it. Listen, not to have any confidence in the flesh. And you need to learn tonight that we're going to have to reject and resist. You say, why, preacher? Well, can I tell you the Lord Jesus underwent some temptations? Yeah. I don't have time to give you everything that I want to give you tonight. Can I say this? Can I say just a couple things? Turn with me to Luke chapter number 4. Just turn to Luke chapter number 4. While you're turning there, I want to give you this. In Genesis chapter number 3, we find that Adam and Eve there, they were created in a perfect environment. So don't blame your sin and your succumbing to temptation on your environment. Adam and Eve were in a perfect environment. It's not going to get any better than the Garden of Eden. Are you listening? Until you get to heaven. So don't tell me, well, it's my environment, or I'll be in a better environment, or I'll create a better... No, listen, friend. You can be tempted right here in the church. Oh, yeah. Solomon wrote about it over in Proverbs. I believe it's Proverbs chapter number 5 or chapter number 6. He said, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation. Think about that. I couldn't count on both my hands probably the preachers that I know that were in the ministry and succumbed to temptation. And it cost them their family, cost them their influence, cost them their ministries. Are you listening? Don't think just because you're in church that it can't happen to you. Young people, don't think just because you sing in the youth choir and you go to a old-fashioned, independent, fundamental, don't think it can't happen to you. It can happen to you. There's people that probably ought to be sitting here tonight, but it's already happened to them. I talked to an individual this week. They used to be members of this church since I've been the pastor here. And I talked to a lady whose heart was broke. She said, pray for me, preacher. My husband don't love me anymore. He's been having an affair with another woman. And he says he's done with me. I'll never satisfy him. I'm talking about a fellow that used to go to this church, used to sit in these pews. You know, if I called his name, you'd be, huh? It can happen to you. Is everybody listening? Luke chapter number 4. Listen what the Bible said. The Bible said Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost. And what, Jesus is God, right? And not only is he God, but he's full of the Holy Ghost. And it said, the Bible said he returned to Jordan and was led in the Spirit, led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days tempted by the evil. 40 days tempted of the evil. Look down verse number 3. The Bible said, the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil taking him up into an high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Now, if I was to go to several other verses, I'd like to tell you that the Bible said in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the Bible said that he suffered in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to tell you that when we look in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 16, the Bible says, speaks of three things. It speaks of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When I look into Genesis 3 and I see how Eve was tempted of the devil and then Adam, I see that Eve and Adam were tempted the same way that the Lord Jesus was. And they were tempted the same way that you and I are. Are you listening to me? You say, how do you say that, preacher? Well, let me give you this. The Bible teaches us in Genesis 3:6 that when Eve saw the tree, that it was good for food. That it was, she saw it, that's the lust of flesh, good for food. How many knows food's good? How many knows nothing wrong with food? But she saw that tree that it was good for food. That was a craving. That was a temptation. Same thing, it parallels to the lust of the flesh in 1 John 2. And here, what is Jesus tempted by? By Satan. He said, take these stones and turn them into rocks. He said, you can do it. You see, what's he doing? He's trying to get, listen, he's tempted him in the area of his belly, trying to get Jesus to depend on his own resources rather than his Father's. He will come to you in the same way. He'll try to get you to live the Christian life and depend upon your own resources. And he'll get you to thinking, oh, you don't need nothing. You don't need no help. You got this. Can I help you, friend? You don't got this. When temptation comes your way, you ain't got this. You need the Holy Ghost. You need the power of God. You need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on your account. Amen. Then he tips in the eyes, in the area not only the lust of the flesh, but the lust of the eyes. Eve saw that and it was pleasant to her eyes. Genesis 3, you can check me out. She saw it that it was pleasant to her eyes. How many times do we see things? Hey, gentlemen, let me talk to you just for a second. Hey, teenage boys, how many times do we see something that is pleasant to our eyes, that's right tempting to us? Pinch yourself. If that hurts, if you feel a pulse over there, you know what it means when something's tempting because it's pleasant to your eyes. Satan shows the Lord Jesus the kingdoms of this world. You see, how did he do that? Because he's the prince and the power of this air. He's the God of this world. Temporarily, he has been delegated power. He had every right to tempt Jesus, and he said, here, let me tempt you with these kingdoms of the world. I'll give them to you. What did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. It is written. What's he doing? He's trying to get, Satan was trying to get the Lord Jesus to bypass Calvary. He said, won't you take the kingdom of the world and take it the easy way? Why don't you take it the easy way? See, he'll try to get you to take the easy way. He'll try to offer you a better way than going God's way. Temptation. And then we see that there's the pride of life. You see, Eve not only saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes, but it was a tree that was desired to make one wise. Pride of life. Make one wise. I'll be smart. I'll be wise. I'll be like God. Satan comes to Jesus. He says, why don't you cast yourself down from this pinnacle? Why don't you throw yourself down off this temple? He said, the angels, they'll come. They'll come. They'll take care of you. He misquoted the scripture. He's trying to tell Jesus, teaching to force the hand of God. And many times, I believe temptation in our life, many times we do something and in a sense, we're tempting and we're trying to force God's hand. Well, I'm going to do this, but God, you've got to take care of me. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, temptation comes in a lot of different avenues, but every temptation you face tomorrow, tonight, next week, next year, in 25 years, every temptation that you face will fall under one of these three categories. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Are you listening? I hope you're listening. I hope you're getting something out of this. I'm telling you, and you say, preacher, how can I overcome this temptation? Can I say, when we look at Jesus, think about this. He was tempted. And let me remind you, the word to be tempted there, it means make a trial of or to test. To test one's faith, to test one's virtue, to test one's character. To solicit and to tempt. To entice one to sin. Jesus, listen, Jesus was God. Y'all with me? Just a few more moments. Jesus was God. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was armed with the scriptures. Every time Satan come to him, it is written, as it is written, as it is written. God, filled with the Holy Ghost, armed with the Holy Scriptures, tempted by Satan. Mark it down. It can happen to you. Temptation is very real. Temptation is very real. So let me give you just a couple thoughts. You're going to have an awareness. Write these three things down. Talk about your awareness of temptation. Know what's around you. Know who's around you. Paul wrote to the church over there in I believe it was Galatians, and he said, you did run well. He didn't say what. He said who. Has hindered you. There's a who. Know your surroundings. Know your companions. Know what's around you. Be spiritually aware. Are you listening? I'm trying to help you if you'll listen. When it comes to temptation, spiritually aware. Put your antennas out. Think about your awareness. Think about your attention. That old mouse comes out from underneath your counter. I hate to tell you all this, but he's probably in your house. But that little mouse comes out, and he sees that cheese over there. And that cheese looks real good. And listen, you know what gets that mouse? He focuses in on the cheese. He focuses in on that temptation. He doesn't look at that bar going around the cheese. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? He gives no attention to his surroundings. He gives no attention to that thing that's going to chop his neck, break him. Y'all ever seen a mouse? Y'all ever seen a mouse when he first gets caught? How many's ever seen? Let me ruin some of y'all's kids' night. Hey, boys and girls, look up in here. Hey, Chloe, listen, watch this. I watched a mouse one time, and that mouse went over and stuck his head in that trap, and that trap come over, and I watched that mouse, and I said, watch them poor little legs. That thing flipped and flopped. I was glad. I wanted it dead. I hate mice. I'd just sooner a black snake crawl across, and I hate them, but I'd just sooner a black snake come up in my bedroom than a mouse. I think I can outrun a black snake. And mice, like, oh! I think the devil's a mouse. Just kidding. Listen, are you listening? He'd sit there and kick that. You know what? He wasn't getting out. He wasn't getting out. You know why? Because he was focused in on the cheese. If he'd have looked at the trap instead of the cheese, he'd have went somewhere else and ate supper that night. Are you listening? Hey, boys and girls, moms and daddies, don't just look at the cheese. Look for the trap. That man says, oh, preacher, you just don't know how pretty she is. I believe it's God's will for me to leave my wife. Sir, you're looking at the cheese. Oh, but preacher, I know we're not married, but preacher, listen, it looks so good, it's so fun. Hey, you're looking at the cheese. Right. Preacher, it's not going to hurt me. I'm just going to have a little drink. I'm just going to have a little smoke. Hey, you're looking at the cheese. Preacher, we're just going to party a little bit. I'm just going to go out here, hang out at the bar. I'm just going to be with my friends. Hey, you're looking at the cheese. The trap's fixing to come down and chop your neck. Are you listening? I'm trying to, in love, I want to help you tonight. Where's your attention? You need to refocus your attention. Why do you think the Bible tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? I promise you, friend, if you look to Jesus, He won't tempt you trying to ruin you. Why do you think the Bible says in Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Why do you think He says that? He's not trying to ruin your life. Listen, everybody's saying, oh, well, God wants me to have a boring life. God wants to ruin my fun. No, God wants to preserve your life. God wants to give you an abundant life, boys and girls. God wants the very best for your life. And if you're not looking to Him, if you're looking to everything in the world, you're looking over here at the lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the pride of life. You're looking over here, oh, what's the world got for me? What's my friends want me to do? What's this? What's in the popular thing to do tonight? What's on the glitz and the glamour? What's, oh, how? Hey, you're looking at the cheese. Are you listening? Where's your attention? Are you looking to Jesus or are you looking to all these other people and all these other things? We've got to be aware. We've got to have our attention in the right place. And then let me say this. You need to be aggressive. You say, what do you mean be aggressive? Let me just say it like this. There are some things, boys and girls, listen to me. There are some things you ought to make up your mind what you're going to do before you ever get there. This will help you and I'm done. All right, be aggressive. Set a guard around your heart. Listen, be careful what you look at. Be careful what you listen to. Amen. Girls, there's a whole genre of music out there that's trying to teach you that you ain't nothing but a piece of meat for a dog. I got news for you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. In the image of God. You are not a dog. Right. You are not... You're not a piece of meat. Right. You're not just an object. Right. You're a soul. Hallelujah. God made you fearfully and wonderfully made you. Are you listening? Yeah. If He can't say I do, hey, tell Him you're done. Amen. Ah, preacher, you're being too hard. You're too old-fashioned. You better learn to put a guard up. Be careful who you listen to, what you watch, what you look at. I'm just going to tell you, the music and the movies and the media of this world, it's not going to help you draw closer to Christ. The world doesn't, listen, this world doesn't care if you please God. Remember now, steal, kill, and destroy, that's Satan's desire. So be aggressive, set some guards up around your heart. Hey, boys and girls, you say, what am I going to do if I get in the back seat with a boy? Girls, I'm talking to you right now. I hope you boys ain't doing this. Hey, girls, what am I going to do if I get in the back seat with a boy in the dark and we're by ourselves? Number one, don't do it. Don't be there. There's no reason you ever have to be in the back seat by yourself with the boy, girls. I ain't getting near enough help. I feel like I'm hitting a kink and I just got to go around it. Roto-Rooter. Come on now, help me. No reason. Make up your mind, it ain't going to happen to me. I'm never going to be alone by myself. Just let me tell you something. If you don't be alone by yourself, you won't be succumbed to the temptation. Sir, that could be for you. Hey, look up in here. This preacher, right? Are you listening to me? This preacher faces temptation like you. This preacher, I'm going to just tell you, I've got some things I won't do, Brother Jimmy. I will not go to a woman's house and visit her by myself. I don't care how sick you are, I ain't coming by myself. I'll pick up one of them teenage boys if my wife can't come. I'll pick a brother, one of my deacons. I ain't coming by myself. So they might not be saved. I ain't going in their house by myself.
Right.
And if you do, sir, you're a fool. It ain't just for preachers. Nowadays, man, you ain't even got to do nothing. They can accuse you of something. I'm just saying, listen, you better be aggressive and set some guards up. Set some parameters up. I will not. What are you going to do? What am I going to do when I get down there to the party and they're passing around the booze? Hey, don't be at the party. You have nothing to worry about.
Right.
Well, they're going to laugh at me. Well, let them laugh at you now, and you can laugh at them in 20 years when they're dying of cirrhosis of the liver.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, man. Come to the piano, Brother Jimmy. Before I preach all night. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, you better set up some parameters. I'm talking about temptation is real. Hey, listen, it can happen to you, mom and daddy. It can happen to you. It can happen to me.
Right.
There's some things, though, you can make up your mind before you ever get. I feel I ain't preaching all night. You can set up, listen, you can set up some guards in your heart tonight. You come down here to this altar. You can say, you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, it is written. It is written. You know what he's doing? He's quoting Scripture. You know why he's quoting Scripture? Because that's our only offensive weapon against the devil. Let me tell you something about the Bible. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. Listen to me. Brother Jimmy's about to start playing. Are you listening to me? If you don't get in the book, you're going to get in the booze. Or you're going to get in the world. You're going to get into something wrong. If you're not in the book, you're going to mess up. Let me say these. Let me give you three things and I'm done. Right here it is. Write them down. Listen real good. Brother Jimmy's playing softly. A personal interest and a personal intake of the Bible, number one, is proof of a spiritual life. If you have no interest and no intake in the Bible, I doubt very seriously you've ever been saved. A personal diet of the Bible is the primary method of spiritual growth. Where, watch this, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. The only thing, Brother Robbie, that I've been told to intake, to make a diet of, it's going to help me to grow, is the Word of God. A personal diet of the Bible is my primary method of spiritual growth. And then let me say this, personal obedience to the Bible is my primary assurance of my spiritual health. Personal obedience to the Bible that I intake is my assurance to my spiritual health. If I trust and obey, we sang it a while ago, if I'll not only desire it, but if I'll read it, and as I read it, hear it, intake the Word of God, if I obey it, what am I doing? I'm setting up guards. I'm setting some post up. I will not go there. I will not go here. I will not listen to this. I will not take this in. I will not. Because I'm obeying the Word of God. Let me tell you, the Word of God will never lead you wrong. That goes for mom and daddy, boys and girls, all the way down here to my host, John Michael. This book, it's been said many times, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. It's up to you. We're standing all across the auditorium. You mind the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name I pray, you take the message. I appreciate the good singing. I appreciate the attention of the people tonight. And I pray tonight, God, there are some tonight that have failed. Lord, many of us have failed in the past. God, I'm thankful tonight for forgiveness. I'm thankful for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, there's some tonight that need to take heed lest they fall. Lest they fall prey to temptation. There's some young people that ought to be on this altar asking you to give them the strength to live for you. There's some moms and daddies that ought to be on this altar tonight, God, making a brand new commitment. God, help us tonight. God, take this message. Lord, may your word not return void. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. There's some already.